Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 461. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here on this beautiful January afternoon. I am coming to you from Miami, Florida, where we just wrapped up the PFL Bellator press conference. We'll talk about all that in just a moment. Meanwhile, Cole Coffee is back home in Las Vegas at the Casa de Cole Coffee, where Cole Coffee, let me just say, thank you for fitting me in between this gym installation upgrade. You got like contractors coming by, equipment being switched out.
You know, The Rock was calling me. He was trying to give me advice. He's like, bro, this is the way I went. And he's like, if I'm coming to Vegas, I want to make sure you got the right specs for the gym. And I was like, all right, thanks. Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate you, bro. Yeah. Dude, it's become a bit of an obsession,
hey,
but it's a good obsession.
That's a good obsession, though.
It hasn't got to the point where it's like, you know, I haven't like stopped work. You know, like I can't go, I can't do my job because I'm in the gym getting swole. You know, it hasn't, it hasn't affected my life. It's just been, a constructive use of downtime, if anything else. You know, it is funny. It is going to suck when I finally move from this place because I'm getting more and more shit, and it happens to be heavy shit. But it'll be interesting. But yeah, so today's edition that I haven't put together yet, I'm gonna call up Hot T because he lives 5 minutes down the street and be like, hey, come over and help me install the new squat rack that we just got today.
Bro, it's funny because, you know, well, first of all, it is becoming an obsession for you because like a week ago you're like, I'm thinking about getting this squat rack, but I don't know if I really want to commit the resources to it right now. You know, obviously it is an expenditure and I'm working on some other things. And then, you know, I talked to you this week and you're like, oh, hold on. Just so you know, man, the FedEx driver is going to be here at some point because I bought the squat rack. So it is becoming an obsession. There's no question about it. But as you said, it's a healthy obsession to have, right? I mean, if investing in yourself and investing in bettering yourself is what you're going to be addicted to, that's a good thing. But I will say, I don't know, I guess when you said squat rack, I don't know, I thought there was like a home version of it that I haven't seen before or whatever, you know, because you're talking about bringing, again, as you said, more gear into your garage and you're already like pretty full in there. And then
it's
you showed
– I had to take –
I was gonna say, yeah, you showed me the link of what you did.
I had to take the exercise bike out to put it into the living room.
Yeah. The short answer is there is no home version of the professional squat rack. Like, you've got the thing that you see in the big gyms. I mean, a huge frame around it, all the pegs and little levers, and man, it's real deal.
It's not as crazy as like as we're making it sound. I like it's like some of the ones at the gym are very, very, very big, but this one, it's decent. It's decent because part of it, like I wanted to be able to do, the big thing, I wanted to do pull-ups.
Right.
And so, you know, even at pull-ups, you know, if you try to get one that's too chintzy, you know, I'm upwards of, well, I'll just say it. I'm like 280, between 280, 285, right about now, probably. Maybe 288. I did have just had a big bowl of rice with some eggs.
He said maybe.
Maybe 288 maybe. Right now. And so, like, the pull-up bar has a weight limit of, like, 330. So, thankfully, I'm not there. But it's like, you can't just get anything and then throw your body and, you know, jump up and try to do pull-ups. Because, one, I'm getting older. And it's like, I don't want to fall on my ass when this metal contraption falls apart. So, I tried to get one that was at least somewhat decent. But the reason, it's, you know, it's funny because when I thought about it, I was like, it can't be too big because, like, that's the same floor space that we, like, use to, like, hit mitts and, like, move around for that. So it's like I had to try to think about one that wasn't going to take up too much of an imprint. But at some point, I'm just like, it is what it is. I want to be able to do squats at home without having to go to the gym where it's always so busy. Because I think I've told you that the gym I go to, while it's cheap, it's literally got to be the busiest location in Las Vegas. And you can't ever get on the machines. And it's a little embarrassing because you see these little 130-pound ladies just fucking crushing weights. Where I'm like, someday I'll be at there. Someday I'll be at that weight. But not today. So, not today.
Am I going to have to do like daily wellness checks on you or whatever to make sure, like, at least early on?
If you don't hear from me, make sure I'm not, like, flattened in the garage underneath some chairs. But, you know, know, honestly, like, there's a lot, like, I've been trying to tell myself, like, there's, I get, like, I don't know about a lot of our listeners or you, you're always on the move, so right. But I know you have a bit of this as well. Sometimes when you are home, you get that little restless feeling. And for me, for a lot of years, that meant made me want to go to the bar and made me want to go out and see people and drink and like, yep. or gamble or do whatever. So now I'm trying to find those constructive things. Like, what can I do that's will keep me and not put me in trouble? So that's either now it's like, I've been trying to re-jump back into playing music. So I've been learning the bass. So I make sure I go up every night and try to play some of my bass. But now it's like, well, now you can go out into the garage and you can be less of a fat piece of shit. You know, you can try to work on this and work on that. Because honestly, too, doing what we do, traveling and let alone carrying gear, you see how much gear that we take. It's only getting harder as yeah. we get older. So, you know, it's about trying to take the steps. If we want to stay active in this line of profession, just not taking our care of ourselves isn't gonna make it happen. You know, like, I'm not going to be able to carry 50 pounds of gear on my back forever if I don't do the steps to kind of keep in check. So as much as I joke about, yeah, I want to get swole, I just want to, maintain, but I'd like to get more fit, you know. I turned the big 5-0 this year. So I'm hoping that's that might be the reveal to see what this past year of like effort has. And I'm hoping it's a decent one. And if not, it'll be decent for me because I know I'm putting in the time and I know I'm putting the effort. This is just the addition to this was just one of those things that, you know, was just making the decision to go in for yourself. You know, like you asked, like guys, like it's funny. We were chatting about how Dolce and his lack of seasonings earlier, but one of the things he talks about is the food, you know, and buying a lot of the organic food, buying the higher quality stuff. It's an investment, but it's an investment in your health, and it's investment that pays dividends. So while it does suck to drop, you know, X amount of dollars on gear that sits in your garage, then it's only going to be on me to not use it. But hopefully it's to use it and feel better about myself, feel better with the ability to be able to keep doing this job, to keep traveling, to be healthy, to, you know, just be around longer. You know, as we get older, we're supposed to be getting wiser. And one of those things is we got to take care of ourselves. So as much as I joke about, you know, it's never going to be like the Rocks gym, but the cold coffee strong as hell gym. I haven't come up with a quality name yet.
Yeah,
but,
that's you got to keep working on that one, man. That's just not quite there yet.
Strong coffee gym.
You got a lot of elements that you're working with. I like where you're starting. I see what you're trying to go with. But I don't think you've arrived at the final one. Just I don't think that one's gonna be.
I have to put that to the PR team. Wherever that PR team is around here, you know, have to send that one to them. But it's been a fun obsession, you know. But
it's good.
It's for
good.
The right reason. So we'll see.
It's good. You know, it's funny. My dad is in Vegas right now. I'm actually gonna go back tomorrow and see him. My dad, my stepmom are there. But I was talking to my dad earlier this week. About kind of how my new role is playing out, and you know, doing more commentary and doing more things and this and that. And
yeah,
I mean, he straight up said, and it's so true, you know. I mean, he's like, bro, he's like, well, first things first, he's like, you can't go do any of that if you're not healthy. He was like, as soon as you're down, you can't go do any of that stuff. And he was like, man, you know, at my age, yeah. I look back and I wish he's actually doing a really good job of taking care of himself right now. And he's like, I wish I would have done it when I was your age instead of waiting until now to be worrying about it. So, you know, it's just it's true, man. As much as we all like to,
you know,
we all like to go have a good frosty beverage and not worry about it. And we just like to have a good time. And, it is true. And you hear it all the time. If you don't have your health, man, none of that other stuff you want to do, like, it just doesn't matter. You can't do any of it, man, if you're down.
Yeah, and that hits hard coming from, you know, from loved ones, from your parents, yep. you know, people, the elders that have been there and done that, you know, because, I mean, that's one of those things, you know, I guess we don't want to have our regrets, you know, and I mean, we'll still have our frosty beverages, you know, we'll still have it from the time to time, but it's from having it from time to time, and, you know, it's funny. I would tell you, I'm a cheap date now, man. When I go out and have some drinks now, I get a little buzzy pretty quick. nowadays, but because I have a hard time, like when I switches and I'm like, all right, you know, I have a couple drinks and I'm like, all right, give me a J-Mo and ginger. I'm like, but yeah, can you follow that with like a shot of tequila?
Because
you still think you're right there. Yes. You still think you're right there. And then next thing you know, you're like, I'm fucking tipsy. I'm like, I gotta stop. I was like, I ain't got it like I used to anymore. And that's okay. You know, that's okay.
That's all good.
But yeah, and hangovers hurt worse in 2024. Oh, I'll tell you what, dog. The one that I've had so far was not fun. It was not fun. I remember through the half of it the next day, I was like, I feel like death. I was like, this sucks. I was like, why do people drink? That's no fun.
And then that afternoon, I was having a drink. And then,
and then that afternoon, I think I, you know, warmed it up a little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. But yeah, I mean, it's good to know. And I mean, if anything else, we joke about it, but it's good that we do talk about it. I mean, this is an all-around men's show. We talk about other shit, but it's good to remind ourselves, and it's good to remind our listeners that as fun as it is and as fun as we like to talk about, you know, beer and drinking and having a good time, that's all good and all as well. But we got to take care of ourselves, because I want our listeners to be here forever to listen to this show. I want us to be here forever to listen, to be able to put on this show and do stuff and, you know, have fun. But I don't want to say moderation, but like have fun in the other shit as well. You know, find ways to find some fitness, whether it be walking. I like walks, man. I can't run for shit. My knees suck and I'm way too fucking fat and overweight to do like running, but I do like walking. I'll walk an incline like a motherfucker, or I can do whatever. Hiking's been a fun one.
I see.
And trying to get back into the hiking stuff. Yeah. Hiking's a lot of fun. We got some great little places out here.
Hey, I see you on IG posting them pics, getting them reps outside, you know?
Gotta get them steps in, dog. You gotta get them steps in. I tell you.
Who needs Mike Dolce?
Well, when I'm telling you, it's like we work in a sport where we watch the fittest athletes in the ever, you know, fittest athletes in the world stripped down to half naked, and then you're like, you look at that and you're like, I feel like a piece of shit today. You're like, look at these guys. And after a while, you're like, some of it's got to rub off, right? Something's got to rub off, you know, where you're just like, am I happy? When I look in the mirror, I don't look like that at all. And not that we'll ever get like that. But, you know, it is definitely certainly good motivation. You know, when you look around, you see the work. I mean, and we talk about all the time, the discipline, the effort that these athletes put in to prepare themselves to fight. You know, that's, you know, granted, the cutting weight is a whole different ballgame. But in the terms of like taking care of themselves, working towards something, eating, you know, better, eating in the right ways, you know, maybe not going out and drinking, partying as much. I don't want to be the extreme like some of these guys. Who was it that came up on recently and they said they hadn't had sugar for like 20 years? I was like, bro, that's like ridiculous. Was I think that the last fight card they said somebody,
I think it was Mozart, right? Mozart of Loyev, I think
is Mozart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you not have, I was like, that can't be true. I can see where he's like, I don't need a candy bar, but there's like sugars and like, maybe just never had, he's like, I haven't eaten processed food ever. He's like, I've never had like Americans white bread ever. You know, he's like, all that shit, there's sugars in things, but I'm just like, but he looks fantastic. So maybe not, but whatever.
I like it.
There's your fitness
there
update.
There you go. There's your fitness update. Cold coffee on the right rock. Track. On the right track. On the rock swinging by. All right, listen, you mentioned Mozart of Loyev. His win at UFC 297. I did want to talk to you. I haven't got a chance to talk to you since Dricus du Plessis was crowned UFC middleweight champion at UFC 297, outpointing Sean Strickland via split decision. I want to get your take because I'll be honest, I talked about it on the and a half episode, and I felt pretty confident that it was 3-2 Dricus du Plessis. I had rounds 2, 3, and 4 for Dricus du Plessis. I had 1 and 5 for Sean Strickland. I will say that I actually thought 2 was the round that I thought might swing the other way. It ended up being round 3 that was the one that made it a split decision for Sean Strickland. But I felt pretty good with the decision that night. But I feel like now, a handful of days later, there seems to be this big public sentiment that Sean Strickland was robbed and that this was bad. And I think, you know, maybe that has to do with his growing popularity. And it was a close competitive fight. I wouldn't say that it wasn't a competitive fight. I wouldn't hate had it gone the other way. Like, I didn't feel 100% confident it was du Plessis when the fight was over. But I feel like a lot of people are starting to say now, like, no, this was wrong, and we need to see a rematch right away because the right result was not issued. And I don't know. I didn't see it that way. So I'm just curious kind of how you saw it on fight night and if a couple of days of reflection is changed anything from your perspective.
I actually had it towards Strickland. I thought I had it going 2-2 going into that last round, and I thought Sean did more in the fifth round. Even you scored it.
Yep.
I didn't really give so much credit to the takedowns because I didn't think there was anything ever done with the takedowns.
That's
so
fair
I,
point.
You know, while they were takedowns, I thought that the jab was doing more damage. So I thought Sean did more damage. You know, it wasn't like the Dominic Cruz. If you have a cut, you know, sort of like and you show blood, the fight might as well just be scrapped at that point. Kind of damage, but I thought he did more damage in number two, and I thought that. He was out. I thought he was just outstriking that. And while Dierkus was doing some of the leg shots and other stuff, and I think he did get that takedown, I just didn't give those takedowns any credit because, I mean, like, he spent a whole, like, maybe 10 seconds and nothing ever actually took place. So I didn't really give them credit, but I could see where they maybe swung that other way. But I gave Sean 1, 2, and 5. And so, but I wasn't like in an uproar. I mean, I was, yeah. It was so close. And Sean probably should have pushed it a little bit more in, you know, like maybe the fourth round, it just seemed like he was still sort of it back into his head. And I think Nixick was, you could see where Nixick was trying to like sort of pull him out of that and really sort of get him to push the pace more. And maybe that wouldn't have been a as big a deal, but Dricus did a great job with those leg kicks and chopping away, you know, presenting that as a threat that Sean didn't push forward like he was, like say versus Izzy or something. And I mean, I can see where, you know, Sean kept talking about the headbutt, you know, and I know some people are like, oh, there was no headbutt. It was an elbow. It was a throw. I mean, it definitely looks like when he put out that one clip, it definitely looks like that cut came before the elbow or was it? I think it was the elbow when they did look like he did catch a hit,
yep.
A headbutt. So I can see where some people are like, okay, that obviously, if that affected any sort of score and everything like that, if it wasn't registered as a headbutt, that if the ref missed it, if people missed it, that could have affected the scoring as well. You know, the judges should have been made aware, hey, this came via a headbutt, not actually via an elbow. And that might have adjusted the way that the scoring would have went for that round.
Yeah, very true.
I wasn't upset about it, but I'm also not clamoring. I don't need to have it right now.
Yeah.
I like Strickland a lot. I like, you know, he's crazy and he's funny and he's wacky and he's definitely good for setting up some views. But, you know, if you ask me if I'd rather see Strickland fight Duplessis in a rematch or see Strickland, you know, fight Izzy or one of the other ones, I'd rather see the Izzy fight because that's just like legit heat or whatever. I'm just, you know. Sean, it was his very first defense. I mean, like, it's not like we need to give immediate rematches to everybody if it's not warranted. And I just don't think an immediate rematch is warranted in this case. While it was close and things of that sort, it went the way it did. But I didn't feel like it was at a point where it was like, oh, my God, that was a travesty. I can't believe the decision that went that way. And we need to right this by giving them an immediate you know, rematch.
Yeah.
But, you know, even hearing Dana come out, like, because I thought I was kind of in the minority. I think in terms of the, like the junkie staff, I am in the minority. I don't know if anybody else, I know I thought Strickland got it. Maybe one other did. Most were in the boat that DDP did enough. So when Dana came out and was like, I had his for Strickland, I was like, thank God. I was like, I thought I'm just crazy here. Like, you know, because I don't go jump into the Twitterverse to be like, I need people to validate my thought. I was like, I think in my mind, I think Strickland do it. So I didn't really read much of a big uproar. I was glad to actually see one other person that was like, yeah, I thought Strickland did. I was like, this guy, all he does is watch his fights.
Right.
So I was like, if Dana thinks, it's not like Dana's gonna be like, man, I really need Strickland as my champ. So I'm gonna go out there and say that I think Strickland won.
Good
you know,
point.
If anything else, the UFC might have been like, thank goodness, enough of the craziness right now. You know, we don't have to worry about what's being said at every media day. Not that they care. But that's a whole other discussion, you know, when, it came up in this week's Spinning Back, like we talked about what a difference 10 years or whatever from when like the athlete code of conduct came out to now. And we revisited some of the punishments and things happened, like Miguel Torres got released after the whole rape van joke.
Right.
There are some other instances that came up. The names are escaping me, but that one always stuck with me because I loved Miguel Torres. He was like one of my favorite. I loved just even like from like, what was it? WC days, another ship. I used to love hearing his name get called. And then when he was in the UFC, I was like, yeah. And you knew he was just bringing violence. And it wasn't like he was calling like, oh, you know, chicks should get raped in a van. It was just like a side joke about these rape vans or whatever. And they're like, how dare you?
And it,
you
know, and like, it was, if you done. Remember, it was, and it wasn't even something, it was a quote from a show, I believe. It's like, it wasn't even like he yeah, just something. Made it up. It was like, I mean, again, it was, you know, not in the best of taste, obviously, you know, rape jokes yeah. aren't exactly just great hilarity. Yeah. But it wasn't even like something original.
Don't bring these up at the work dinner party.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, oh, he had a whole 20-minute bit on it. It was phenomenal. Like, no, yeah, it's not really a great subject to broach. But I will say, but it was, you know, wasn't even, you know, again, like an original quote or something. He was just quoting something that was already out there yeah. from like a TV show, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so it's just crazy to think. So I mean, like maybe there's a part of it where the UFC is like, whew. You know, we had a little bit of time, and Sean wasn't angry about it. He wasn't in uproar about it. And I'm a big proponent of, like, if the fighter's not, granted, he just took some massive shots, so it's not like he's going to be the best defender himself. But after the fact, he's been saying, you know, here's this. And then like, all right, I'm done. That's my last post or whatever. I've said my little bit. But if he's not, you know, in the cage screaming like this was ridiculous, yada, yada, yada. I mean, who am I to be like, oh, it needs to be an immediate rematch? I think he's made his peace with it. And honestly, you know, Sean, he's always said, like, you know, it's not just about, like, this belt. I just want the money. I just want to compete and make money. Whether I'm the champ or not, like, book me for fights. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to talk my shit. I'm going to do my thing. And I'm good with it. Yeah. Like, I think if anything else, he's probably got a lot less shit on his shoulders that he has to worry about. I'm sure he would have been happy with the paycheck and if there are points and all that other kind of good stuff. But financially, I'm sure he's probably got a better contract now, regardless of where he was at, whether he has points or not, from where he was at before he had the belt. So I'm sure he's in a decent spot. But honestly, like when somebody's a champ and we're always putting these responsibilities and these role model things on their shoulders that they're not asking for. We just put them there. We say, this is your responsibility. Now that you're the champ, you have to be the spokesperson for the company.
Yep.
You are now representing that brand. And while that's all true, it's not like that's not what they're fighting for. They're not fighting for the right to be the spokesperson. They're fighting for the chance to support themselves and to support their family and their loved ones. The rest is an unfortunate byproduct that they kind of deal with it.
Yeah.
But we tend to lump more of that on it. So I think if anything else, he's probably like, guys, thank goodness. Like, I don't have to deal with that shit. And maybe you'll back the F off me and let me be crazy and weird and you're not going to throw it in my face.
I agree.
You know, so.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I don't think it's a bad thing at all because I think that, well, first of all, I agree with you. I, to be honest with you, I just want to see Dricus and Adesanya next. You know, that was already the fight we were supposed to see. We've seen all the madness and the tension and the chaos, and so we need to see the conclusion of that. If it can be done in Africa, even more special. I mean, that would be amazing.
Holy hell.
If they could do that.
The crowd shots were fantastic.
Super cool.
And, like, seeing some of the tweet stuff, like, some of the, there was I saw it somewhere on one of the tweets. It was like, some guy popped up and he's like, I'm Nigerian. He's like, but I still want Dricus to bring it back home. And I was just like, dude, that's like kind of what Dricus has been saying. He's like, you might say this and that about me, but the African people are rallying behind him because he lives there. He's there. I wonder if it's still us a lot of times lumping this beliefs and stuff that we have here and what we say, oh no, every person there in Africa hates people in South Africa. You know, they're all feeling this. I mean, that's us pushing that on them. And Dricus is like, it's not like that. It's not like them. We're like, sure it isn't, entitled white guy. But it's like when you're seeing like the crowd shots and you're seeing people of all different shapes and colors rallying around this guy, it's like they loved them.
Yep.
They loved them, at least in that shot, wherever they were at in South Africa, they were absolutely digging it and loving it. So, you know, maybe you have a better insight to this. Izzy was there. Izzy was supposed to go into the cage. I don't know what happened after the fact, but like, had to be why the dude was there to watch and stuff. I'm sure they didn't just be like, hey, Izzy, come on out and just enjoy the show. We want you to watch this fight. There was plans, and even Dricus was sort of like saying, like, I thought we were going to have a face-off here in the cage, but it's not happening, you know, and then he sort of chipped again.
You don't think maybe Danny was like, wait a minute, I remember what happened last time. He's like, it's all coming back to me now. No, do not go in there. We do not need to see this again. I do not need to see these two people next to each other.
Well, I mean, but that mean, but they have 50,000 security guys around, and it would have been like the greatest. I mean, they reused it for the promos immediately after the fact, and like even in the lead up to the show. So it's like, let's just make sure we have extra security in there, and
maybe not a microphone.
At that point, it probably wouldn't have went that bad because. And Drickus was a lot more beat up in this particular instance, so he might not have been like as brash as he was the last time. But I don't know. I mean, there's a part where I'm kind of cool with it because there are times where I feel like the person coming in the cage always sort of steals the shine from that particular moment and takes away what just happened.
Yes.
So we just had a champ lose. And last thing you want is now just like, okay, thanks, Sean. Just go sit over in the corner and wait to walk out until we finish doing this little spectacle over here, you know? So I guess I'm kind of glad that that didn't happen. But it would have been totally cool to see, you know, and especially, I mean, I think all of us, or at least I was like, man, when I heard that Izzy was there, I was like, it's going to happen and it's going to be epic and it's going to be cool. And then we'll have it for the next fight, you know? Maybe that's just them still sort of like, not wanting to tie themselves down into that fight, you know, maybe if they're thinking that Izzy is going to become a little iffy still, you know, at this whole point, you know, he said he wanted to step away and now he's like, he wants to come back. But it's like, well, if we bring him in there and we start pushing this up and then he gets all flaky again, then what do? Now we got to hype somebody else up, you know? Yeah. So, who knows? But I mean, yeah, I mean that fight, it's going to be fire. And I mean like, wow, like, I was really, I don't know, man, like watching Sean fight Izzy was so different than watching him fight Drickus.
Oh yeah.
That I'm so into what this Drickus and Izzy fight is going to look like. And I just almost feel like Drickus is just going to feel like he can walk straight forward and straight through Izzy because of what Sean was able to do. And then probably what Drickus feels that he did versus Sean and being able to shut that down. Those leg kicks from Drickus to the body kept popping up to his head. That's just Sean walking through that shit. That shit was nasty, dude. Drickus is, and they were so quick. They weren't telegraphed in any way. Not that I want to see a kickboxing match between Drickus and Izzy, but man, I think that fight's going to be absolutely fireworks. And I mean, it could be one of those ones that I think we're watching and we're just like, holy shit, any moment one of these dudes can knock the other one out.
Yep.
And it's just, I think it's going to be fantastic. So I was a little bummed we didn't see it in the cage, but, you know, I guess I'm not sad about it because you're right. It probably could have been a giant shit show and who knows what could have happened if it went off the rails, you know, and that's the last thing that, you know, Dana wants to go back in the presser and somebody like, well, you regret that, which I feel like we've just done multiple times before when they let in, we're like, hey, that wasn't the best idea of taking Sean O'Malley in there right after that fight, was it? You know, I mean, like,
so true.
Who knows? So who true. Knows?
Well, I'm with you. That's the fight I want to see next. And the other thing too, just to put a ball on that, is that I do think exactly what you said. Like Sean Strickland, A, I don't think he cares about the belt. He just wants to fight and he wants to make money. And B, I don't think he needs the belt anymore for people to care about his matchups, man. I just feel like that guy has crossed over a threshold of popularity now that, like, it doesn't matter who he fights.
Yeah.
People are going to tune in and just want to watch him fight. So you don't have to worry about, hey, this needs to be a number one contender match, or hey, this needs to be a rematch for the belt. Like, I just think you can do whatever you want with them, and people are going to tune in, man. I think he has truly become a superstar. Now, it's funny because you talked about the scoring of that fight and feeling crazy. I want to ask you about some news that popped up. The surprise addition to UFC 300 with Kayla Harrison the night before we're supposed to have this PFL Bellator press conference. Dana White comes out and announces that they have taken one of the PFL stars and Kayla Harrison is going to face Holly Holm. Now, I'm excited. I've wanted to see Kayla Harrison in the UFC for a long time. I'm bummed that it's very clear we're not going to get the Kayla Harrison Chris Cyborg fight that I definitely wanted to see. Although I was one that said I think Larissa Pacheco should be first because you should go champ versus champ, but I still wanted to see Kayla and Cyborg at some point, and we're just clearly not going to see that. I know Cyborg has come out and said she'd be happy to fight on UFC 300. You know, like other than this whole contract thing I got here, I'd love to be on 300. So anyway, we're probably not going to see that, but Listen, I have the utmost respect for Holly Holm, who she is as a person, who she is as an athlete, and what she's accomplished in her career, both in mixed martial arts and boxing. But me personally, I felt like when I heard this announcement, like, oh, that's awesome, and holy hell, that's a tough stylistic matchup for Holly Holm. Props to her for being willing to take it, because that's who she is. She doesn't turn down anybody she fights. But a couple things happened. One, we have a little internal CFFC group chat that we talk about fights and things that are going on. And one of the first, and I'll leave who said it out there for anonymous, but immediately chimed in and said, Holly is going to destroy her. And I was like, what? And then today, I was at, today I was at this PFL and Bellator press conference. I spoke to three different people who said, this is a horrible stylistic matchup for Kayla Harrison. And now I'm starting to wonder if I'm crazy. Now, I will say, you know, right off the top, the cut down to 135, you know, that is a huge factor. Yeah. That does scare me. It did look like from some of the pictures that were sent out today, it looks like she's getting lean already and she's working her way down there. So, you know, she looks smaller than she has in the past. She is a professional. I trust her to make the weight. I think if she says she's doing it, she's going to do it. But how does it impact her? But anyway, I say all that to ask you what your initial impressions of this matchup were, because to me, again, I would never count Holly Holm out of anything, but I just thought this might be a tough stylistic matchup. But now I've run into multiple people who say I'm looking at it the wrong way. It's Kayla who is going to have trouble tracking her down. Is not the level of striker that Holly Holm is and is going to struggle mightily in that department. And when you add in the cut to 135 as well, that this is a fight that Holly Holm should win handily.
Handily, that's a tough one. I mean, granted, we're looking at like 3 months out for the weight cut. So, I mean, while that is a tough cut to get down to that point, that is a lot of weight to cut. But like you said, she's an absolute pro. I mean, like, I have no doubt that she's going to get down there. And I mean, and it's 136. So, you know, granted, it didn't ever look like she was struggling to get down to like the lightweight or whatever. I mean, it looked like she probably had an easy time to get down to that weight, you know, but I think, I'm confident that she's going to be able to get that. You know, when I was in our group, my initial thoughts when I thought it, I was definitely on the side A of where you said, where I was like, man, this sucks for Holly Holm. I think it's just, man, if she's able to get her hands on her, I mean, like, and put her in that world where she can get her to take it down, it's going to be a tough. But man, Holly Holm, you know, when I hear people sort of defend the Holly side, she's got incredible takedown defense. Yep. I mean, we saw even going back to when Ronda tried to take her down for that initial fight. They were like, we need to defend the takedown, and then you're going to piece her up on the feet. Keep the fight standing, and you're going to show her weakness on the feet. And that's exactly what happened. So while there is a difference of, of Ronda and Kayla, Kayla is much better at getting to the ground than Ronda even was. Ronda was really, really good when it came to like the judo thing, but she was almost like a one trick pony when it came to, you know, sort of getting that trip judo toss down to the ground. And then just once you got into the ground, it was like, you couldn't get up. Kayla's a whole nother level of being able to get these girls to the ground. And in terms of when she gets them to the ground, it's a whole different world from what Ronda was as well. I mean, when we're talking about people that put up a great fight, would be like Larissa Pacheco. Pacheco's an absolute beast. Pacheco I would ask people, so what do you think about Holly Holm and Larissa Pacheco? Who would you lean in that fight? Like, I would easily be like, Pacheco's going to fuck her up.
I would too.
You know, right, like Pacheco, I mean, but Pacheco's got incredible strength and power in her hands. And while Kayla doesn't have that, but she's just got a great ground game. I'm pretty confident that as much as Holly does a great job of keeping the fight standing, has a great job of staying moving, she's going to be running around a long time. Kayla has adapted really well to be able to kind of cut the cage off and make her way there. And I'm just confident that if it becomes a brawl where they're just throwing hands, then you can kind of take that whole boxing finesse out of it.
Right.
And I think that's the part that keeps Holly having a real chance. And of course she's going to have a chance. And of course, you know, if she lands some good shots, I mean, it's not like we've seen Kayla's chin tested like over and over and over in a round. She's either got it to a point where it became a grappling match, like even with Pacheco, I mean, it became a grappling match, and then it was just a matter of, like, you know, the who was better on the ground and who was able to kind of do her things. And then she's just got power that just negates the whole, yep, the whole thing as well. I mean, there's a reason Cyborg is not calling for Pacheco. I mean, she's hands down got to be the hardest punching female fighter right now, regardless of, like, the weight division, probably. She's ridiculous. So she's kind of like, you know, almost can't even bring her into the same conversation. But I'm pretty confident that I would lean towards Kayla in this. While I won't say it's going to be a blowout because it's Holly Holmes and I don't want to disrespect her like that, I just feel like Kayla's ground game, and once she gets a hold of her, is just so good. And as good as Holly's been able to kind of stay up, if Kayla can figure that out, it might be chasing her around for a round until she figures it out. But she only needs a round to finish it, you know. She could run around that whole first round and say she gets a hold of her in the second round. I'm pretty sure that one's not going to go to a decision. And while Holly can hurt her, and I feel it's a bad matchup. I feel like they want to put a very, very good name to one, probably warrant the larger paycheck that I'm sure she signed in for a contract. Yep. You know, they're not going to throw her in against just some no-ranked opponent. I mean, like, this is a former champ coming in. And besides the fact that she's a former Olympic champ, I mean, she's an absolute stud and a beast, and she would destroy the mediocre level of UFC fighters, which even the mediocre UFC fighters are hell of a fighters. Against other organizations, like, Kayla's just another level. So who knows? Maybe Holly surprised us, and maybe we're giving Kayla too much credit to be able to stay standing. And, you know, the thing with Kayla, she just, for me, she doesn't get, she's not drawn into a slugfest just to prove that she's a striker or, right, that she has striking skills. A lot of people feel like, okay, hey, that punch didn't hurt. Fuck it. I like my hands. Let's go this way. She understands it's about getting the win. And I think she realizes that finishing Holly Holmes would give her the best kickstart of her UFC career. So she's not going to play around trying to make it prettier and make it fancy and try to go for something that she's not accustomed to. Would she take a knockout? Sure. But I'm, you know, ask her if she would be more happy to take a ground and pound, you know, TKO or an actual submission. 100%. And I think that's probably the way it's going to go. I think she'll eventually submit her, you know. Holly's tough, man. She can. I don't see Kayla knocking her out, but, you know, weirder shit has happened in this sport. You know, I think that would be, boy, what a byline that would be the next day if Kayla comes in there and knocks out Holly Holm, where everybody's expecting her to take it to the ground and just wrestle, submit her. You know, hope you never know. I mean, like, Kayla's strong. She's got power. I mean, you've seen her up close. I mean, she's got guns, and I mean, like, they're only going to look that more impressive. Even if she's dropping weight, she's going to have to lose muscle.
Yep.
But she's going to come in there looking like an absolute specimen, which is going to be incredible because both of them are so absolutely fit. Holly always looks very well and like a specimen. It's going to be impressive to see those two. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to not pick Kayla.
Well,
off the bat, for me at least. So I find that surprising that others were just like, oh, this is a gimme for Holly. Like, I find that absolutely ridiculous.
You know, the betting odds came out, and they kind of favored what we're saying. It was minus 500 was the initial line I saw for Kayla Harrison. So
that's what I saw.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, we'll see. Again, all respect to Holly Holm, would not, you know, count her out of anything. A couple of things occurred to me. Number one, I thought today, by the way, Pete Murray did a fantastic job of handling the situation. I actually got to ask him about it afterwards. After we had the big press conference, then he did a little scrum, and I asked him about it. I thought Pete handled it sharp. You know, he kind of put the blame on Kayla, you know, and said, hey, she made the decision to leave. She made the decision to not make this fight. So put a little bit of shade, you know, like, hey, we tried to keep her. She decided she didn't want to fight Cyborg, but then also came back and said, but you know what? You know, we're proud of what she did. We're proud of what she accomplished here. We'll continue to cheer for her as she moves over there and tests herself. And I don't know. I just thought that was kind of a refreshing way to handle it, you know, to say, you know, no hard feelings. We we'll continue to be, you know, support her in her new endeavors. I like the way that was handled. You know, it wasn't let's minimize it or hey, she was never that good to begin with or whatever. Again, threw just a little bit of shade on her to be like, well, she didn't want this fight to happen, so she chose that. But then also came back and like, so I like that. But the other thing that occurred to me was, all right, so if this announcement was made last night on a Tuesday night, obviously I don't think the entire set of negotiations got done, you know, in the course of 48 hours. And I had heard for a while that there was a potential that Kayla Harrison may make go ahead and make the jump to the UFC. You know, there was some contention about whether her contract you know, where it stood and that sort of thing. But it just occurred to me when this announcement was made that Kayla on Saturday night as she's watching 297 just had to be rubbing her hands together going, oh, they need me so bad right now. You know what I mean? Like, Raquel Pennington, I am so happy for her and what she accomplished and all she battled back from and all she went through and everything that she's done. And it's like there's no way you can't be happy for her as a person. But you would also be lying if you pretended that that fight was entertaining at all. And it was a bad fight. It was not entertaining. And I know Juliana Pena will do everything she can to spice things up a little bit because that's what she does. But, you know, I think it left a lot of people feeling empty, right? Like Amanda Nunes walked away and now we've got a new champion, but we don't necessarily, you know, love how she got the belt and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It felt like a lot of people. In fact, I saw that clip, DC and RC or whatever, where, you know, RC came out and said they just should get rid of the whole women's bantamweight division. You know what I mean? I was like, damn, that's kind of a strong reaction to it. But I got to think that Kayla Harrison was
ridiculous.
I thought so. But you got to think that Kayla Harrison was just sitting at home in Coconut Creek, Florida, or wherever exactly her home is around American Top Team and just going, oh, they're definitely going to need me now because they need some flavor. They need some spice. And, hey, it's instantly added. I mean, right now, a division that people just a couple of days ago were saying we need to get rid of, I think there's now real flavor in it. I think this is exciting, and boy, I see a whole lot of speculation that Amanda Nunes fight that we thought wasn't ever going to happen. Maybe the teammates fighting each other. I still stand torn on that because I know how uncomfortable that was for both of them. So I don't necessarily want to push that narrative that they need to fight each other. But if they choose to, you know, Kayla Harrison and Amanda Nunes, should Kayla get by Holly Holm, I sure as hell ain't going to turn down the opportunity to see those two go at it because I think it'd be a great fight. So, I don't know. I just, to me, this feels like a big positive, and, you know, I thought everybody involved handled it pretty damn well.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, I could definitely see where her move and desire to go to the 35, knowing that division sort of wide open. It's tough with the Nunes thing because, you know, it's like you think that pretty much the UFC has put to bed the 145 division at this point. You know, it's like, and Amanda's not like Amanda's going to want to come back at any other weight besides 45, you know, unless they just did like some random one off. It's like not like she's going to go down to 35. So it's like she would want the 45, and it's like, okay, well, I can see where Kayla's like, hell yes. You know, if I'm cutting for 35, yeah, I'll go back up to 45. You know, that's closer to what she wanted to get anyways. But that fight, sure, I think that fight would be cool, you know, but there's just the desire of, like, as much as I like seeing Amanda fight, it's like, okay, you're going to come back for one fight and then you're going to walk back away again. It's almost just like, might as well just sort of stay away at this point.
I agree.
As much as I do like seeing her, I'm like, unless you want to come back, but if you're going to stick around, but to do it at a 45 where they're almost, now, like I said, putting it to bed, it's like, just be done with it. Just be done with her 45. You know, if she's never going to want to go down to 35, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, let Kayla just focus on 35 because it's already going to be hard enough. She has to make a crazy life change to get to be able to do the 35, especially if she's going to try to do it over and over and over. Don't make her yo-yo because it's already going to be hard enough on her body. I'm sure for the money, she'd be more than happy to do that, you know, so good on her. It just leaves weird lingering things, you know, of whether the 45 is going away or what's it going to be for. Is it just coming back to fight for the 45 belt? It's just like, just put it away, you know, but the thought of, you know, Juliana, you know, Raquel, all those, I mean, Kayla's probably like, I will just run through these ladies. I mean, I think the Juliana fight would be very, very interesting.
Yep.
It's funny, you know, going back to that fight, I know you're a Rocky fan. I'm a Rocky fan.
Yeah.
I like Myra as well, you know.
Yep.
So I actually was entertained because I was the whole time wondering was what was going to sort of happen. You know, was Rocky just going to be the tough Rocky that we expected? And then is Myra going to be this overwhelming stud that we know she can be? In the junkie staff picks, we unanimously picked Myra to win. I don't think there was anybody that picked Rocky.
I was picking her too.
Going into that last round, I love what our coaches and them were saying. They're like, dude, you're hurting her. Just go out there and just swing. And when she walked out there and was just like, rock 'em, sock 'em, Rocky, and just like, just throwing down, I was loving it. I was entertained because maybe, like I said, I have an affinity for the fighter. So I was like, and I like women's MMA. I mean, I got the poster of her right here to my right-hand side. So it's kind of crazy. I went over to my neighbor. I was like, dude, did you see the Rocky one? He's like, I did. So, like, I feel like we've been watching her career for a long time, so I'm super happy. So part of me watching that fight, just watching her longevity, her strength, her growth from where she's been, you know, everything that she's went through, I was so happy. And then to see her performing, it's not her fault that Myra wasn't holding up her end of the deal.
Well, yeah, I was going
to
say.
Rocky was doing what she wanted to do. But Rocky did what she needed to do, and I thought Rocky looked great. So I'm not going to fault her because her dance partner started faltering. That's just part of what Rocky pushed her, you know, like Rocky made her that tired. And I'm not going to discount the fact that I wasn't getting the equal from both sides. I know a lot of people shit on that fight, but honestly, maybe I'm in the minority. I enjoyed it because I realized that there was the possibility, even as the fight got on, I was like, wow, she's tiring. I was like, Rocky might get a finish. You know, this might happen. So there were moments in the fight that I was entertained by the possibilities, you know, even though it wasn't becoming this other things. It was just, I liked it. And then when I heard people shitting on it, I was like, maybe I'm weird. I was like, I thought it was an okay fight. And I'm not saying it was like a great fight, but I was entertained by it, you know.
You said,
and maybe it's because of the players involved and stuff. So who knows?
You got a couple things in there that really make sense. I will say this, because early on, especially, I was entertained by it. Part of it was because I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you going into the clinch? Like, what is going on? You know what I mean? Just the concern.
Opposite of what our coaches were saying.
Yeah. I was the same thing. When they were like, hey, there's no reason for us to do that. And I was like, yes, there's no reason for you to do that. So I was the same. So I was entertained by early on. But I think you do bring up a good point. I mean, it's not all on her. Now, I will say, if you have an opponent that is tired, hurt, whatever, it's on you to go get that finish and to really push the pace on them and to really put it to them. And I don't know that she did that. But you are 100% correct that it doesn't all fall on Pennington's shoulders, right? Like, Buena Silva was just done at the end of that fight. I mean, just absolutely done.
She tried to go for that knockout, though, in the fifth round when Rocky came out swinging. In my mind, that was her listening finally to her coaches and saying, I'm going to go for it. And then it's just Myra being tough, you know, and I'm sure Rocky was a little bit tough, too. It was a pretty grinding match, you know, up to that point. So, in my mind, I agree with you that she should have been able to find a way to get that finish, but it was by no means anything like when we've seen from some of these contender fights where Dana's like, nobody in there seemed to wanted to fight like they were trying to get a contract. They weren't trying to go for it. Rocky was trying to finish. She just wasn't capable at the end. When she went out there and went forward and was swinging, I was like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, because I remember the whole, just like you, I was like, why is she not listening to her coaches? And then she finally started listening to her coaches and was throwing, and she started hurting her. And I was like, oh my goodness, she might actually get it. And she just didn't. But I mean, she certainly, in my mind, she tried. She just wasn't able to get it, you know? So I definitely don't feel like there was any point in there, like at the end, that Rocky was like, I'm not giving everything that I have in me currently to finish this fight.
Yeah.
I felt like watching it that I was like, she's trying to get it. So I'm going to give her credit that she, while she didn't get the finish, she was trying. But I felt like listening to other people, it felt like there were just two people out there fighting to not lose. And that was maybe more on Myra's side, because I felt like Raquel was definitely trying to get it. And how cool is that at the very end? I mean, it was just seeing her get it and then seeing Tisha come in there and see her daughter come in there.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was cool. I mean, like it was a good, good moment. I mean, It was fun. So I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed it. So I guess I'm in the minority.
let's say if Kayla wins, against Holly, especially if it's emphatic or entertaining, she's going to jump the line, right? I mean, or do you think Juliana Pena still gets the shot, and you find another
fight. Got to be Pena.
Got to be Pena, and you find something else for Kayla.
Got to be Pena. Well, I mean, plus two, I mean, like, depending on how long that the home fight, I mean, like, that fight isn't even going to happen until UFC 300, so that's April.
That's April.
So there's time for maybe we'll get that Pena fight in there and then give another 4 months, 3 to 4 months again. So maybe end of the April, May, June, July, August.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter. There's a possibility, but I definitely think it's got to be Pena next. I mean, the heat's already there. I mean, like, she's already doing everything she needs to do to sell it, and Rocky wants it. Rocky was asking for it, and Dana and them have always said, you know, if the champ wants it, we want to make it happen. You know, and you have a former champ calling out the current champ calling the former champ. Why not? You know, even though Kayla was a former champ of another organization, you want to pay for those big bucks. Let Kayla fight home, recover, rest a little bit, you know, sit on the sideline. She was just active so crazy in the PFL. Like, I think she's fine taking two fights in a year. I don't think she's asking for three, four. I don't think she wants to fight a bazillion years more.
No.
But I also don't think she needs to have a bazillion fights in a year. I think she's got her contract worked out pretty well, that if she's fighting two or three times a year, she's going to be absolutely through the roof happy. I'm thinking two times a year is probably good for her. And so let the Pena fight happen. Let them sort of get the heat after that. Whoever's got that belt, because if Pena gets the belt, she's going to be chirping for Kayla.
Oh, yeah.
Kayla wins this one. She's going to be chirping for whoever the champ is. Rocky's just, she's the kind that she's going to say the division has had women working to get to the top. Let the division work itself out. But she can't deny if the UFC says, well, sorry, that means Kayla's jumping the line. Pena's smart enough to know that I can make some big bucks. You know, like, nobody's ever going to hold this belt forever. Might as well get those big bucks when you can. And then the belt, you know, it does change hands. I don't think Pena's like seeing these moments of grandeur where she's like, I'm going to be the biggest champ and reign forever and ever. I think that's a good thought, but she probably had that thought until she lost the belt again.
You know,
and then I think the reality comes in and says, okay, you know, let's get the fights that make sense. Let's get as much money as we can and do whatever. But that would be, if I had the pecking order, I would say Pena and then Kayla Harrison after that one.
I was going to say,
I'd have no problem that Kayla jumps in the line. It's a former champ and she's an absolute beast. She's a stud and she moves the needle. Yep. Ultimately, she moves the needle. It'd be fun to watch.
2-time Olympic gold medalist. That goes a long way. It's funny. The other variable in there is that Dana and Mick are smart enough to know that if they don't give Pena the title shot next, their lives are going to be living hell because she's going to harass them nonstop. So they're probably like, bro, I can't take it, man. Like, I can't. She'll be texting me.
I'm sure it's already started.
But
sure it's been going nonstop.
You know what though? I like what you're saying though, and I think that's the right approach, right? Because the knee-jerk reaction would be like, well, if Kayla beat Holly, we got to go right away. But you don't really. And look, if you went Kayla Raquel, I mean, Raquel's not a big trash talker by any stretch. Obviously, she's, you know, I mean, that's going to be the most respectful build-up ever. And Kayla doesn't mind, you know, going a little tit for tat, but she's not like a big trash talker. And I think against Raquel Pennington, who's like one of the most respectful, humble human beings you'll ever meet, I think Kayla would have a hard time trying to go toe-to-toe with her. But if for some reason Juliana Pena is able to get this belt, Juliana and Kayla going back and forth would be insane. And then if you want to go crazy, if we're pulling out the WWE script, if we're at the TKO table, then if
Cyborg.
Then if she wins it, I was gonna say no, first yeah, exactly. First Nunes comes back at 145 and Kayla becomes double champ.
Oh.
Kayla becomes double champ by beating Amanda Nunes, and then she says, man, that was hard. I didn't want to have to beat my teammate, but I did. But now, Cyborg, where are you at? You know what I mean? Let's come do it here. And then you bring in Cyborg, and oh my God, I mean, I need Vince and The Rock to sign off on that right now, because I think that's the way. Kayla becomes the double champ. She faces Cyborg. I mean, it just changes history all in the course of like 2 years.
Well, you know, I mean, like, it took a Ronda Rousey to get the women's bantamweight coming in there. I mean, maybe Kayla's the one to get the women's lightweight division made. I mean, like, she could be a triple champ for all we know, dude. I mean, like, Dana and them have always said, I mean, it's not like I know a ton of women that are fighting at that weight that could do it, but I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of women that would love to be able to actually be closer to like a real weight and be able to put on some weight and go in there and throw some hands. But I mean, if they were ever going to open up a division at a higher weight class, she would be the one that they needed to do it, you know, just like they needed the Ronda to be the catalyst for that other one. I don't see it because I think, you know, if people are claiming for divisions, they probably want a sort of an intermediary division in the men's side, because I think that a lot of them been asking for what, 165, you know, different other 175, all these sort of like mid divisions, but it would be interesting. But yeah, I like the way you laid that out though. I mean, like, cause having Cyborg come back and then seeing that come in there, that, you know, as much as I was just saying, like, see you later, 45, I could totally see them bringing that 45 back just to maybe give a double champ possibility. But again, say she loses to Amanda, and then Amanda's like, well, this was fun.
What was the point of all that? Yeah.
What was the point of it all? What was the point of it? You know, then it, at that point, it just, you know, then it's whatever. But it, like you said, it's TKO now. I mean, it's partnered up with the WWE. Like, it's all about these storylines, these quick hit storylines. You never know. But
and then after
she's a welcome addition.
I was gonna say then after she beats Cyborg, then she starts calling out, "Hey, and by the way, who's got the best judo of all time? I'm not no bronze medalist. Where you at, Ronda Rousey? Get back here. We gotta have a judo match." And it's sitting up. That's not gonna happen.
Oh boy.
Now it's
funny. Did I send you that? Did I send you that video the other day? Did you? I don't know if you ever responded. I found that old video on my storage of a tour through Ronda's old house in like Venice, that absolute shithole house.
Oh my god!
Did you not see that?
No, I don't think I saw that.
You'll have to click through. I can't remember if I sent it to you on WhatsApp or if I sent it through Slack, but I don't know. I was trying to figure out what it was, like why we sent somebody there. But I want to say it had to be some of the USAT people, because it was in the folder. It said like USAT SH only. And I was
I feel bad because I'm not remembering her name right now. It's like Jane O'C.
Oh, Sandy Hooper.
What was it? Sandy Hooper? Okay, I thought it was
SH was probably Sandy Hooper.
No. But there was
a USAT.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was the photog that would have been. There was a guy that went with her. But I wonder if Sandy was the videographer, the shooter of it. I wonder. Could be the SH only, who the SH is. But regardless, the house was an absolute hellhole. Back in the old footage of Ronda, there were clips of it. There were clips that make it in there in the bed or whatever. It was an absolute shithole. And part of her reason in this video, she even talking about, she's like, well, they're tearing the house down, so we just stopped caring at that point. But she did try to say it was like halfway like that way when she moved in there. I mean, this place was an absolute dump. It was so fucking gnarly. But it's funny, I found the footage, and Ronda before when she was just starting, I think, with UFC, when like the whole promo hype train was going. I mean, when she was just becoming larger in life, but she lived in an absolute shithole. It was just funny.
It's funny because
Ronda's not coming back. Ronda has moved on from this game. Ronda's a farmer now.
She is not coming back. She's Browsy Acres out there. But you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I know that new MMA fans like probably despise Ronda. They put her down as her, you know, her quality of how good she ever was or whatever. But man, that was a special time to be covering the sport, dude. Her rise to the top 100%.
was
incredible.
I remember being still like a UFC staffer, some of the shoots that we would go shoot with her, like when she went diving with the sharks, when we did this like on top of the stratosphere doing the ride that shot her up. And then we're doing so many fun, like crazy things. I remember we did a bunch of truck interviews and like other little stuff that we do, man. They put her through the mill of doing all these different events and stuff. She literally put the sport on her back. I mean, yep. I know a lot of people gave Conor credit, but before Conor came, it was Ronda putting that shit on her back and just fucking really just made the masses really become aware of this sport. You know, like it was such a brutal, beautiful violence before. And then you saw Ronda who did beautiful violence, you know, it was what you can't take away what she did for the sport by any means, however it looked towards the end and, you know, how she left sort of just unceremoniously and, you know, left a lot of people just sort of scratching their head like, okay, that's it, you know. But what she did for the sport. So yeah, I mean, like, how incredible would something like a comeback be? But yeah, I think that's
not happening.
We gotta yeah, as much as we like gonna say, you know, about anything is possible, that one I'm pretty sure is not ever gonna happen. I think she's, you know, moved on from that, and with good reason. I mean, yep. She's in a good place right now. She doesn't need to get fucking beat up on anymore.
100%. She paid her dues. She made her money. All right, listen. I won't go into like a deep breakdown of the press conference or anything, but I did want to get your quick thoughts on today's press conference. We'll have a month to break down this card, which is why I'm not going to go heavy into it today. But I will say some of the face-offs were good today. Man, Jesus Pinedo and Patricio Pitbull. You know, anytime Patricio Pitbull's in somebody's face, it's going to be a good face-off. I thought that was very, very spirited. Yeah. Dude, Thiago Santos and Yoel Romero is just like the weirdest fight ever that I think is going to be awesome. Clay Collard and
sponsored by Ben Gay.
Oh, just gonna. I see what you did there. Clay Collard and AJ McKee. I love that fight on paper as well. And then yeah. One that was not there today to be faced off that I think is awesome as well is Gabriel Braga versus Aaron Pico. That's gonna be banger as well. So I love this fight card, man. I really do love this fight card. I love that they're doing this. This is the way to bring these promotions together. There's one thing, though, that did occur to me today that I'm kind of interested to get your thoughts on this, right? Because I love this card. Like I said, some spirited face-offs. There's some great fights. We'll talk about it at length as it gets closer. But one thing that I think is going to be interesting for promotion-wise is you always like a little good rivalry, a good beef, a good little grudge match, whatever, right? But when all these people are in two different promotions, like, they've never crossed paths, so there's not real history. So it makes it a little interesting, right? Like, it's kind of like, well, you're seeing them for the first time. What do you think? So I just wonder if that's going to be, like, kind of challenging to promote or to create hype or to create buzz because you don't have natural history of, like, well, I got to get that one back, or I've never liked this guy because he's always been talking about me or whatever. Like, they've been in other organizations. So I wonder if that's going to be a little bit of a challenge just to get people to buy in. I would think the card quality alone should be enough to get people to want to buy in.
Yeah.
And I think there's some good matchups. But I don't know. It did occur to me today. It felt a little – you always want somebody up there chirping at least a little bit, and there just wasn't any of that really today.
Yeah. And I think maybe going forward that rivalry, since it seems like this is going to be an annual thing. I know a lot of us sort of thought, like, well, 2024, we'll see a Bellator.
Right.
And it seems like when you listen to Murray today, it's like, okay, no, it sounds like, you know, Bellator is going to stick around, you know, like, maybe, you know, it won't go away. And if they're going to make this a yearly thing, you're going to need to have Bellator people become Bellator champs and then have the Bellator champs fight the PFL champs. This one, in terms of, like, I didn't need to see so much of, like, the heat of, like, okay, Bader, I want you. What do you know about this Hennepin guy? You know, like,
right.
Besides the fact that, boy, when you talk about face-offs, holy size difference.
Bro.
That was ridiculous. Hennepin, I felt bad for Bader. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, my God. Like, he is a Hulk of a dude. Like, it's scary.
Bro.
I was like, oh, my God. I feel bad for Bader.
Before the finals, or it was actually the playoffs. It wasn't the finals. It was – I did a press conference with those guys. I hosted like a media call or whatever. And Hennen was sitting in a chair and was still taller than me, dude. Like, that dude is just huge, bro. I was standing up and he was in a chair and I looked over. I'm like, how is your head still higher than mine, dude? You're so huge.
It's unreal. So, like, those, you know, like, I think what's cool about this one, and which I think, you know, going forward, you know, you saw the Bellator guys sort of when they asked him, like, who's going to win, you know, but you predict the, like, you know, who's, how many of PFL guys are going to be Bellator guys. You could sort of start see the guys sort of, you know, like, have that pride in the brand. Like, you know, us Bellator guys, we're going to show up.
Right.
It didn't matter so much, like, who was in fact on the opposite end. Like, I didn't need to know your particular record. I just know you're not from us.
Yeah.
You know, it's the WEC versus Strikeforce, you know, it's the whole, like, we're us against you, you know? So I didn't need to see so much, like, of just initial shit talking about, like, me talking about your initial breakdown. Because just on the terms of, like, knowing which each individual champ is bringing on their own, like, looking at the card, like, it's absolutely – they're studs. I mean, like, watching the guys go – you talked about Pineda and when Patricio got up in each other. That's another big size difference, too.
Yep.
And Jesus is a beast, man. As much as Pitbull is a dog – dude, I'm leaning Jesus on that one because that dude is a beast.
He's great, man.
And I think if a lot of people probably are going to lean on the side of thinking that Bellator has the potential to do a sweep, I don't know. I don't know about that because, well, one, he's going to, as I love Bader. Bader's going to have a bad night that night, just in sheer terms of like the size difference. Like, even if he tries to go for a takedown, Fajita's got pretty good takedown defense, and he's just gonna land on him.
Yeah,
all he has to do is just jump on him. The dude looks like he's like 500 pounds. It's unreal that they actually are gonna be close in weight. It's just ridiculous. I think that's definitely gonna be one that's gonna be on the side of PFL. And I think the Jesus is gonna be another one in the PFL. Impa's got a tough, tall order. That's a hell of a matchup. I mean, dude is he just won the light heavyweight, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go down the middleweight, you know, but he's fighting one of the best middleweights in the world, you know, like, so that's gonna be crazy. The Nemkov fight is crazy. Getting to see, we finally got to see the opponent that's gonna be there for Clarissa Shields, and I like the things that she's saying. She's still got a long way to go, but I mean, like, this card is fantastic. It's, you know, and people, as much as people are trying to joke about, you know, like the UFC not wanting to follow up that card, there's got to be some reason in that as well, because you start to look at the card now that's been migrated to the Apex, and it's a little thin. And, it's, you know, people look at that one compared to like this PFL Bellator card. This is probably one of the best cards MMA-wise that's been put together. It'll probably be one of the best ones of this year, and it's probably, you know, if you compare it to last year, it might be the best card that even out of last year. Like, this card is absolutely fantastic, top to bottom.
If you just put the letters UFC on this card, nobody would complain about it. You know what I mean? Like, the level of talent that's on here. You know what I'm saying? If you were like, hey, this is a UFC event, nobody would be like, this is not a UFC event. Like, dude, this is high level.
Yeah.
Let me ask you if this is crazy, because I had this thought today too. Would it be crazy, or would it be cheesy or anything like this, or would it help, I wonder? Like, if maybe there was some kind of bonus involved for all the Bellator guys or all the PFL guys, depending on who wins the series. Like, whether it be a cash bonus or, like, a sponsor prize. Or, you know what I mean? So that they're, like, kind of so it really does feel like Bellator versus PFL, and they're kind of cheering for each other, and they're pulling for their own, and they're talking. I don't know. You think that would help at all? Or is that just like, well, now the IFL, or what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, because, you know, and even then, like, money, of course they're going to be happy with cash. It's funny, because even if you try to do, like, a trophy isn't enough. Because, like, a trophy or plaque, it's not like who's going to take the trophy home?
Yep.
And then it's like, where do we put it? But, I mean, if you work out a sponsorship deal, like, say the winners get a bunch of Lambos or, like, you
Rolex
know, it's a Saudi thing.
Something.
Like, especially if this happens in, or Rolex. I mean, they easily could be leaving with $100,000 cars or something.
Yep.
And then at that point, it's like, okay, you want to see some guys really go out there, because I'm going to get my pay, but then if I'm going to get a bonus, and if it's a sponsor deal, it's not like, hey, PFL, you're not opening up your wallet. You find the right sponsorship deal, hello, Saudi or whoever, and just throw this mad money around, like, easily. I guarantee if there was something like that for an extra incentive, if you want to see these guys, make sure, and maybe it's a finish bonus.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like, get your win, but it's a finish, as a finish, you get in the pool for a finish bonus. Maybe the best fighter, maybe they can only get one Lambo. The performance of the night out of the winners gets it. But I mean, I guarantee if you put enough money and enough sponsorship, they could make some sort of thing. But monetary or something, I think, would definitely add a little extra flavor, because this is such a unique thing. I think every time we see something where it's like there's a title on the line, or if there's some extra little something, even the casuals can understand that, oh, this must mean something. And you start saying, oh, hey, yeah, the winner of this, besides getting that $1 million check at the end of the season, they're going to get a Lambo, or they're going to get Rolex, or they're going to get something that's worth $50,000, or blah, 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 blah. People then start saying, like, oh, shit, I'm going to watch it because I'm going to see who wins this, or who does whatever, you know. But if you want to have some extra incentive for our fighters to go out there and give you what you want, like, so say if it's a performance bonus or a finish bonus, not just the win, but maybe, you know, because I think we would like to see a team environment between, like, the Bellator guys and the PFL guys. But at the end of the day, it's such an individual sport. How do you then now all of a sudden try to foster a team thing?
Right.
But if you wanted to, some sort of monetary incentive would certainly be a step in the right direction to make that happen.
I even thought, if you think about it, I mean, Saudi Arabia, why are they sponsoring this? Because they want to show the world that they're a place to go. Like, even if you said all the winners get like a first class VIP vacation for their family to Saudi Arabia, and then like, dude, you fly them, you like go. Once they win, and then once you win, you turn that into a promotional material. Like, they bring out their family, yep. And you fly them like in that first class, like, you know, those airlines that got like the apartments in the front, you know what I mean? And then you bring them out and they're like in a palace, yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, you know the kind of money they have, and you just make it insane. Like, anyway, just throwing that out there.
And they already own that. They probably already own all that stuff. That,
100%.
That's no extra cost. It's just like, okay, you know, just sign them up.
Yeah, 100%.
I like that. That sounds even more plausible.
You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
That's where some money too. So yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, PFL, you're welcome for that idea. You can credit the MMA Roadshow for that.
MMA Roadshow, we got your back. All right, like I said, we'll talk about that card. We got a couple weeks there.
Put
us on the banner like they did it out at MMA Bushido. It was looking good on the banner. I'm just saying that logo
looked
good.
That shit looked good on the banner. I'm a little biased, but I thought it was the best looking logo up on there. I was like, I like seeing that shit. It was like ran right through the middle. I was like, oh.
Sharp. Shout out to Gokhan for making that happen. I appreciate it. He's a good partner to have, a good friend as well. So, yeah, it was cool to see that. All right, listen. All right, I got to run. We got some work to do. I know you do as well. So, I'll be back in town next week, I think. I don't know. We'll figure it out. My schedule's crazy right now, so hopefully I'll see you. Maybe I won't.
You know, there's a UFC event as well. I don't know if you know that there's that UFC event as well. You know, cover it. You know?
I will be there for that. So I'll be there for, I think, media day. I think I'm still figuring it out. By the way, Saturday night, I should say, if you got nothing going on, if you're looking for some combat sports, we do have CFFC Muay Thai launching this weekend on Saturday night, so watch it on OnlyFans. Check us out doing Muay Thai for the very first time if you're in Philadelphia.
Shit. You're going to start wearing OnlyFans gear now? You're going to start pimping your OnlyFans page now?
I mean, you know, we got bills to pay, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to figure out what to do.
Show me them nipples, son. Show me them nipples.
Okay, we've clearly lost the plot here. There's no other thing to say at this point, but thanks for listening.